Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God. Once again, we're back on there. And we give God the glory and we give him the praise. All things work collectively by the will of God. I'm so excited. I'm encouraged. I'm still a believer. I believe that all things are possible. Amen. And tonight's another night that we just believe, Father, that we come to you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We come to you in the name of Jesus, that you will bless us and teach us and show us what needs to be done tonight. We pray for the different nations of the world, for those in leadership and those who are in fellowship. Teach us, O God, to follow your footprints. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hello, Brother Jason.
Hello, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
Oh, man, hearing your voice, I am blessed.
I am blessed to just hear your voice and be able to fellowship this evening. And I'm also so blessed because I've been struggling a little bit of sickness and allergies and colds the last few days. And I just praise the Lord, but give me the strength to get on here and just work healing in my life. And he is, by his strength, I am here to fellowship
well,
you
know,
this evening.
Amen. Well, I will say this to you because the same here in Houston, Texas, every time I look up, the longer I stay in the house, the better I don't go out there. I got to go to Kasuk. I'm sneezing up here. Yeah. But God is your hour, so let's hear what the Lord has put on your heart.
Amen. Well, glory be to God that he is the sustainer of our strength. He is the source of our salvation. He is the rock that we stand on. He is our shield and protection in a time of trouble and strife in our lives. And we glory and we praise him for all that he continues to do on our behalf. And I want to say, as always, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us all to be living and breathing today, that we may continue to receive a word from him, for by his word we are sanctified by truth. Amen. I'm going to open with 1 Peter. We've been spending a lot of time in Peter the last few weeks and talking about enduring faith and some of the things we go through with our faith, suffering and all those different types of things. So we're going to hang in 1 Peter here again this week. I'm going to open with 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of your suffering, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, there, you know, as I reflect on these scriptures, you know, I tend to think about, you know, there could be like several things that could take our good days in tournaments are terrible, very bad days. You know, sometimes some of us, depending on the day, it can take a lot for things to really go south. And then some days it don't take much. If things are going good in the morning, and then one thing happens, and what appears to be a good day can turn to a very bad day for the rest of our day. Some examples could be like a financial expense surprise, a bill you didn't think was coming, or a fee that came in, that could turn some houses upside down. Yeah. You're not expecting it, and it's going to impact your household. I get news like that in the morning, that'll have me sour for a few hours. Sometimes some of those things is if you have a strong-willed child. You know, dealing with a strong-willed child, you get up, and everything's going good, but you've got 15 minutes with them, you're having to deal with stuff, and now you're just in the wrong spirit trying to do anything. Okay, because they just in major mess. Sometimes that can mess up our day. Sometimes we struggle sometimes with guilt for backsliding into simple situations. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. We get convicted by him, but sometimes we dwell there too long. We don't get into confession so that way we can be cleansed of all the unrighteousness. Sometimes we dwaddle in that guilt and identify with it too long, and then that can just turn our whole day upside. Yeah. The most common ones is when we spend so much time planning to do something. We put effort and time and weeks and months in it. And then when we finally get to the day that we've so carefully planned for, we laid our plans out the way we should, we get to the day and all of a sudden within minutes, an hour, it goes all up in smoke. That can mess our day up. And lastly, one of the things that I reflect on is one of the things that can kind of turn our good days into terrible days, bad days, is when we're obeying God or something. God asks us to do something, and we go over to do it. But yet, there are struggles that come along with doing what God asks us to do, and then those struggles can seem to be more than we can obey, and we can get discouraged and start questioning whether or not we were even supposed to be doing. And so there are multitude of things, depending on the person, the situation, that can take our joy and just turn that whole thing upside down. These things can discourage us and lead us to allow our joy to be stolen from us. But Jesus tells us that in this world we will have trials. In John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so what we need to remember is what we're going to talk about a little bit today is we're going to talk about a joyful faith. Okay? A joyful faith. How we maintain our joy in the midst of the faith which we profess and hope for. As always, what we're going to do is we're going to break our opening scriptures down from 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to break those scriptures down. And so we're going to start, as I scroll there for a minute, we're going to start, let me turn down, I'm having a little bit of a deal going on with my paper here, so you would just bear with me for one moment as I'm using a different method for getting there, and then we'll proceed on. Amen. Okay, here we go. All right, we are there. Okay, so open the scripture. We're going to take the first two verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I'm going to read them again. Number 2, verse 12. Beloved, did I think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though something strange has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So what in these two verses, there are some ways that God is encouraging us to how he's encouraged us to respond to suffering in his name. There are some ways that he's responding to encouraging us to respond to suffering. And one of those ways is we have to recognize that we're being tested. We need to recognize that we are being tested. Amen. Tests, when they come, what they do is that it refines our faith. That's why the tests are so important.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, as Peter's talking about what faith does through the fire, he says, the purpose of that the test is that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory as a revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have those tests that's also with us, God testing the genuineness of our faith. Is it genuine? And if there's some things there that is hindering our faith, the things that are not genuine faith, what he does is through that fire, it gets exposed. Not only, because he already knows, but it gets exposed to us so that way he can work in those areas of our life to increase those things that is not contributing it from a positive standpoint. So it tests the genuineness of our faith. Amen. So we need to recognize, number one, that we're being tested. Number two, we should rejoice in following the path. Keyword path. Rejoice in following the path of the Lord. When you remember, when we're going through these tests, Jesus also suffered to further his kingdom. Amen. He also suffered to further God's kingdom. He suffered and sacrificed himself for all humanity. He chose, when we choose to suffer in his name, we choose to suffer in his name because we trust him. Okay, there must be trust. But because we trust him, we know that our suffering is not in vain. It's not in vain. What did verse 13 say? It says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad and exceeding joy. So his glory is going to be revealed through the things that he allows us to suffer through. But if we faint and lose faith, then a lot of times we won't see him being glorified, because a lot of times, and that's the reason why a lot of Christians struggle, because we want to say we appreciate and we love, you know, God to a certain degree, and we want, our whole objective is for us to be comfortable and have plenty. But what we don't realize is that as we go through these different things, is that there's going to be have to be trials. There's going to be have these things we're going to have to go through. And a lot of times, if our whole objective in our Christian walk is to be comfortable, we will not, keyword, we will not experience God in a unique and powerful way in our lives. And it's through those trials and those sufferings that we go through is when we have to depend on who he is, when we have to hold on to the faith that we so boldly profess. And so the goal of it is that he allows us to go through those things. He strengthens us so that way he can be glorified in our suffering. And when we endure the sufferings in his name, that's what comes out of it. So what does it look like to be joyful even when we don't feel like it? What does it look like? Because, see, one thing you realize is that when we start speaking of joy from a biblical standpoint, joy is a choice. We choose to have joy. See, happiness and joy are two different things. They do play around with each other a little bit, but happiness is based on our circumstances. So if everything's going wrong, things are, you're just not happy. But then you realize you cannot be happy but have joy at the same time. You can have, because of the fact that your happiness is based on your circumstance, what's going on. But I've seen people where no matter what's going on, because they hold fast to their faith in God, they're able to have joy inside of their whole situation, which is fulfilling to them. And so what does it look like to be joyful even if we don't feel like it? Well, number one, when we exercise our faith in who God is in our storm, joy comes from it. Choosing to accept Christ's joy in trial is not about being in self-denial by circumstances. God doesn't call us to be in self-denial that things are going on. That's not what he calls us to do. However, what he does do is, but when we accept Christ's joy in our trial, it is an acknowledgement that God is bigger than our trials to deliver us from it. He's bigger. So through our trials, we look it up. And our help. Through our trials, we're focusing on Jesus, even though he was walking on water for tribulation. All these different things is when we take our eye off of him during those things, when we forget who he is and how much bigger he is in our situation, our faith will wane, and we will sink in a lot of those situations. A prime example, what I would say one of the best examples of this type of experience is if you go into the book of Acts, there was a situation where Paul and Silas was in prison because they were dealing with this girl that operated under the spirit of divination. And as I do from time to time, I think it's important, but it's a very short story, I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 16, and I'm first going to read from verses 16 through 26. Verses 16 through 26, and it reads, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who bought her master much profit by fortune telling. This girl found Paul and us cried out, saying, 'These are the men of the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us a way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authority. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the masters tore off their clothes, commanding them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks." Amen. Fastened their feet to the stocks. Now, Apostle Paul and them and Silas was going to do Lord's work. But guess what? Before doing what God called them to do, they met trouble. They met trouble. They were assaulted, beaten, and falsely accused is what happened to them. And so the question is, they're willing, they have shown that they're willing to do what is right, because it's not the first time Paul in the book of Acts has been assaulted. They were willing to do what God asked them to do and endure the sufferings that went along with it. So the question is, as we talked about earlier, if we do suffer for God, what comes out of it? What he gets glorified when we're willing to endure those sufferings in his name. And we're going to read what came of that. If we continue down to verse 27, if we read from verse 27 to 34, and I'm going to pick it up, okay? And we're actually at verse 25. So, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Amen. Singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from the sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What must I do to be saved? So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them that same hour at night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Amen. Amen. And so there's a couple of things that we see here. Number one, not only was Apostle Paul and them persecuted and had to suffer for what God was going through, but you see what their attitude was while God still hadn't done anything. While they were in prison, fastened to the stocks, put in prison, fastened to the stocks, okay, verse
25 says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, God ain't done nothing yet. They still enduring the suffering. But they had such a joy within them about who God was. They recognized that he was much bigger than the problem that they were in and whatnot. That joy brought about praise for God in the midst of their suffering. And because they were willing to endure that suffering and go through all that stuff that started with them rebuking that spirit that was on that girl, that slave girl, a household got saved. In other words, God was glorified through their suffering so that someone else could see salvation. Amen. And so we need to remember this is a perfect example. A perfect example of that sometimes we get too turned off when we get offended. Sometimes we get too turned off when things don't go our way. We don't want to go through that. But we have to remember that sometimes God allows these things to go on because now it's increasing our faith, but there's someone else he's trying to reach that will be observing what we're going through. Remember, it said Apostle Paul started singing hymns and praising God, and it said the prison people in prison were listening to them. We're listening to them. And so we just remember that everything we say and do is a walking testimony. People are not just watching how much we praise God on Sunday and all things. They also see how we talk, how we deal with setbacks, how we deal with loss. And that speaks to what God is doing in our lives, and it touches other people so God may be glorified. Amen. So
amen.
We're going to go down to, as we go, we're going to take the next verse of the opening verses, 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 14. Hey, Dr. Hunter, somebody's phone is not on mute.
I know that. Go ahead.
Okay, maybe just try to keep going. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, with one of the opening scriptures. It says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. You know, the bottom line is that there will be times when we'll be ridiculed and discredited for our faith. That's a part of the Christian walk. And as the opening scripture said, we should be surprised, okay, that we have to endure some of these things. Keeping going, again, 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to cover the last five scriptures, verses 15 through 19. 15 says, but let none of your suffering as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, and the righteous one is scarcely saved. Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. We need to make sure that we're suffering from before the right things. I think I said this last week, that not everything we suffer from is in Jesus' name. Because we live in the flesh, we're not perfect people. Sometimes our suffering has to do with us suffering for our own namesake. You know, bad decisions, no self-control with our mouths, you know, all sorts of things there because we're not perfect. We're all falling short of the glory of God. We sin, and we get things wrong sometimes. So not every suffering that we go through is for his namesake. So we need to be conscious of that in our relationship with God, that we're suffering for the right things. There are some things that we suffer for, which are a result of actions, again, we're taking in our own name, but not Christ's name. But in these scriptures, God places emphasis on what we should be suffering for, okay? He's placing the emphasis on, he's making that contrast in those scriptures, verses 15 through 19. He's making a contrast on what we should be suffering for and what we should not be suffering for. Amen. Now, from reading those five scriptures, there are three reasons we should be encouraged to choose joy in suffering. Because remember I said, remember, something that will reveal to us is that joy, to have joy, is a choice. We can hold fast to our joy and focus on who God is, or we allow our joy to be taken. Okay? It is a choice. So here are three reasons that the scriptures are telling us why we should be encouraged to choose his joy in suffering. Number one, God does not leave us stranded here to endure oppression and suffer even on our own. So even though we're going through things, we're not alone. We're not by ourselves. Psalm chapter 68, verses 19 through 20 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escape from death. Amen. He daily loads us with his benefits. He is the God of our salvation. We're not alone. And he always provides for our needs in accordance with his will. So, again, number one, God does not strand us here to endure oppression and suffer and evil on our own. Number two, what's the second reason why we should be encouraged to choose joy and suffer? Well, we understand that God will judge evil for what it is. You know, a lot of times we see such injustice in this fallen world, mankind world, because we have a fallen nation. And we see at times where it seems like people have done wrong, they get what they supposed to deserve, and then we've seen at times where people, they know they're guilty and done wrong, but guess what? They get off. They get off. And so we see such injustice at times, things going on. But what we have to know is, even though we're maybe suffering through those things and it seems like we've been wrong, yet no justice has come from man's system of doing anything, we need to remember that God will judge evil for what it is. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, Solomon says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's read that one more time. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So number two, God will judge evil for what it is. He will do it. He will do it in his own time, but we need to keep focusing on him through the suffering, because that's up to God to decide when he's going to move in a situation. But he's empowered us by focusing on his son to take joy in those situations until he delivers us from those situations. But even as we're waiting to be delivered from those situations, he is with us right there in the storm. Number three, what is the third reason why we should be encouraged to choose joy and suffering? Well, we know that our word says that God will set things right and back to the goodness he intended from the beginning of creation. You know, God created a perfect existence for Adam and Eve, and he gave them choice. And we know the whole story about the garden and how Adam and Eve sinned and got tossed out of the garden. Okay? God's intention was to be among his creation. But that was kind of ruined by that, and we have what we have today. But we also know that in Revelations, that God creates a very similar situation in the heavens. Okay? And it also says, just like he walked among them in the garden, he also will walk among us, and we will see his face in heaven. So God will restore and create a new heaven and a new earth that is in line with what he intended to do all the way back to the beginning. So what am I saying? What we're saying is that one of the reasons and we should be encouraged to choose joy over suffering is because of the fact that there, even though it seems like we're so focused on the earthly things that's going on with us, there's still a heavenly plan for all of creation to make everything right. And God has the will, the power, and the sovereignty to do what he wills and what he wants. And what he said he's going to do, he's written in his word. And we can have confidence in that as we be filled with joy. So in closing, last few statements, we should remember that joy we get in suffering does not come from us. You know, it does not come from us. It doesn't come from things, a new car, new house, our relationships with people at times. It doesn't come from things. That joy comes, but it comes from focusing on who God is during our suffering. That is where the joy comes from. So let us summarize the reasons to have a joyful faith. Number one, the definition of love is not our love towards God, but God's love towards us. Amen. Let's remember that. Let's remember that. It's his love towards us that defines what true love is. Amen. Number two, God already knows in advance his plans for us. His plans are not for our not for evil, but for our welfare and to give us future and hope. So God has great plans for us in our life. And so this is what his word says. We can be assured. And number three, when we are going through a trial, we must seek him through his word. When we fellowship with him by coupling our prayer with his word, he speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, it is through that process we are filled with joy. It comes from nowhere else. You're not going to find it anywhere. It comes through fellowship with God that is has word and prayer combined together. Amen. Lastly, Jesus tells us in his word to abide in him. Abide in him. So that he can speak into our lives through fellowship. And when we do, especially in a time of trial, he tells us what the benefit of him speaking to us. What we get when we are reading the word. Because we have a lot of folks that they'll put some effort in praying, but they don't crack the box. And then what they wonder is, why is it they're not feeling this fullness of joy? Because of the fact that the word, God speaks to us through his word. He speaks through his word. And we have to believe that when we open the Bible, it isn't just this vague document with these globes and this corner. No, when you open the Bible, the entire Bible, from beginning to end, is a personal message to you and I. God is speaking to you sitting in your prayer closet. So it has to be spoken. He speaks to us through his word. Amen. So Jesus tells us to abide in him so he can speak and so our lives through it through fellowship. And when we do, again, especially during our trials, he not only tells us that he's going to speak to us, but he also tells us what the benefit is. And in John 15:11, it says, he tells us, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Notice what he said. He said, my joy. That joy belongs to the Lord. And since he is the source of joy, he imparts that to us. But in order to receive that joy from him, because only place it comes from, we must abide. We must abide. So we shouldn't be packing up the Bibles just because things are going well. We need to stay abiding when we're on the mountains of our life. So that way he's continuously with that joy so that when we get into the battle of our life, we have that relationship with him that continues. And it even gets more intense because during the trials, we tend to need and feel a sense of needing God a lot more because when we get in the balance of our life, it seems like everything that's going on is greater than what we can physically take on. And that's why they're called back. Excuse me. That's why they're called back. So in closing, we just need to remember that there's a joyful faith that God has laid out for us. He didn't just tell us to do it, but he told us where to go to get it. And when we invest in our relationship with him and we recognize the true joy that fills us only comes from him, then that's when we will see godly fruit in our life, and that's when we will see our faith continue to grow and increase. Amen? Amen.
Hello, Dr. Newsom.
Hello. Praise the Lord. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. Hello, Dr. Hunter. Minister Jason. All right. Well, let's go into the word. Father, we just thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. You are the only true living God. There's no other God besides you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace. Please speak. Please help us encourage, enlighten in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk about what to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet. What to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet. If you would, please turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 37, and let's read verses 10. Well, Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 10. The scripture says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." You can't tell your dream to everybody. Everybody's not going to be all excited about what you, your God-given dreams. They're not going to be excited about the dreams that God has given you. So you just can't tell everyone. Joseph told his brethren, and the scripture says they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and bowed down to my sheaves." And his brothers said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated Joseph yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me." And he told his father, and he told this to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Now Joseph's dream was a God dream. It was a dream given to him. It was from God. Joseph was given this dream and showing that he was going to be exalted above his family members, and they were going to come and bow down to him. But his brothers hated him for that. His father kept it in mind, but his brothers hated him. It came to the point where his brothers threw him into a pit. His brothers sold him over into slavery. And then he went to work in Potiphar's house, and he was accused of a rape and thrown into prison for 2 years. It didn't look like Joseph's dream was coming to pass. There was no evidence there was no evidence in the area of the dream he had. I mean, things were looking just the opposite. And so when things get like that, we begin to wonder, man, did God show me this? Did God show me this dream? If so, what's going on? Just the opposite is happening. And so, you know what? This is going to encourage all those who have been given God-given dreams. You know what? God still communicates today with his people through dreams. Now Joseph was given this dream that he was going to be exalted and placed in a high position. Joseph's dream came to pass 13 years later. It wasn't until 13 years later that Joseph's dream came to pass. Joseph was 17 years old when he had the dream, when God gave him the dream about being elevated, highly elevated, and in charge and running things. Joseph was 17 years old when he had the dream. He was 30 years old when it came to pass. 13 years had gone by. Joseph had to wait 13 years before his dream came to pass. Now, I said this message is going to encourage you, because maybe God has shown you something. Maybe God has given you a dream. He's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. Maybe Yahweh has given you a dream, and it hasn't come to pass yet. You could be weary right now. Well, God wants to encourage you tonight and to hang in there and not to give up. just because what God has shown you hasn't taken place yet in your life, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come to pass. What to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet? Now, we know that Joseph, he was, after 13 years had passed, the dream that God had given him came to pass. The vision that God had given him came to pass. He was placed in second command over all of Egypt. Good God Almighty. Man, God is so powerful. God placed him in charge over a heathen nation. And so he was placed in second command. He was able to save Egypt, and he was also able to save his people. And his folks did come down and show homage to him. They did bow down to him. The dream came to pass, but it didn't come to pass overnight. It didn't happen right away. It wasn't until 13 years later when Joseph's dream came to pass. So I pray that this is encouraging someone. Maybe God has given you a dream, and it hasn't come to pass yet, and you're weary. You're getting weary and faint. Well, God wants to encourage you today. He wants to encourage you to hang in there. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that it's not going to happen at all. What to do when what God showed you hasn't come to pass yet? And I tell you, Joseph's dream came to pass. He ended up being in second command over Egypt. He was able to save from starvation and hunger, and he was also able to save his own people from starvation, from hunger. And matter of fact, during that time, there was a worldwide famine, and people were coming from all around the world to Egypt to get food. So Joseph's dream came to pass, and he was able to help people from all around the world. That's why you shouldn't give up on your dream. Don't give up on the dream that God has given you. It's going to affect and help more than just you. It's going to help many people. Many people are going to be helped by you staying in there, hanging in there, and letting the dream that God has given you come to pass. What to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet? Now, you've seen in the life of Joseph, you see God communicating with him through dreams. Now, let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 through 3. Here's another man, a prophet, another person that God communicated with through dreams. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The scripture says, "And I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what God will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord, Yahweh, answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, though it seem like it's not going to happen, though it tarry, though it seem like it's delayed, though it tarry, God says, Yahweh says, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry." Look at there. Now, we know that Joseph is true in Joseph's life. Now, it surely came to pass. And here God is, here's Yahweh telling Habakkuk, the prophet, that, hey, just wait for it. It will surely come to pass. And I just like to encourage those who are listening all around the world. God does communicate through visions, through dreams. He does. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. One reason why God communicates to us through visions is because during that time we're usually asleep and we're still. The scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am Yahweh. You see, sometimes God has to get us, communicate to us when we are still. You don't get any stiller than being asleep. You see, God can communicate us without any outside interference or anything hindering him from being able to communicate to us. So he comes in our dreams and he communicates messages to us in our dreams. In our dreams. He speaks through dreams and visions. He communicates. Now here we see Habakkuk, God telling Habakkuk, number one, Habakkuk, I want you to write this dream down. I want you to write this vision down. You see, God comes to us a lot of times when we're asleep. When we're asleep, when we're still. Be still, God says. Be still and know that I am God. You see, he can communicate with us when we're still. When we're still, when we're asleep. So he comes a lot of times and he brings us dreams and he brings us visions. Now, that word vision that you see here in Habakkuk, he says, write the vision down. That word vision in Hebrew is chazon. 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 Like autozone. Chazon. Chazon. And that word means vision in Hebrew. It means dream. That word chazon means vision. It means dream. It means divine revelation. When God gives you a dream, when he gives you a vision, he's giving you divine revelation. He's communicating with you. That word in Hebrew, chazon, it means to dream. It means a vision. It means divine revelation. It means a prophetic vision by which divine messages are communicated. Good God Almighty. You see, God, he's communicating with us through dreams. Through dreams. He communicates with us through dreams or visions. Dreams or visions. That word vision means dream. It means a prophetic vision by which a divine message is being communicated. God speaks to us through pictures. Through pictures. God shows us movies like pictures in dreams, and it's him communicating. God was showing Joseph sheaves bowing down to his sheaves and cows bowing down to his cows. He was painting and communicating a message to Joseph in his dream, in his vision. God communicates to us through dreams and visions. He communicates through us. It's also called an oracle. An oracle. An oracle is a message given or a message spoken. See, when God is giving you a dream, you're seeing pictures, but he's speaking to us. He's speaking to you through, you can say, speaking pictures. Speaking pictures. He's creating pictures in your mind, in your dream, and it's him delivering a message to you. God speaks to us through dreams, through visions. Chazon. Chazon. It means to communicate through dreams, through visions. It's an oracle. An oracle, you know, God delivering a message through a dream. It's a medium. A dream is a medium through which God communicates to us through, in a bad way. You know, people used to go try to, you know, well, this is satanic right here, this example, but you can see clearly what I'm talking about. They used to go to a house, and maybe there'd be someone there with a crystal ball, and that person was supposed to be a medium. And what that means is they were going to contact some dead person, and that dead person was going to speak to their loved one through that person who so-called seen through the crystal ball or something, the medium. And that dead person was supposed to speak through that medium. Well, need an oracle. They were going to hear an oracle, their loved one speaking through some so-called sorcerer or something, which is the medium. Well, in the good sense, in God's, God speaks through prophets. Not only does he speak through prophets, but he speaks to us. He gives us an oracle for what? Dreams and visions. I hope that helps you out. You know what? I am not a, you know what, a Satan worshiper and all that. I'm surely not trying to glorify his work. I just want you to get a picture of what I'm trying to say. God communicates with us through dreams, through visions. He communicates messages to us. And so he's telling Habakkuk, I want you to write your dream down, the chazon. So the first thing you have to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet, first thing you need to do is write it down so you can keep it before your eyes. This will encourage you. It'll keep you encouraged. Keep you encouraged. It will keep you motivated. But I know God's given, he showed me things. I remember when I was sick about 2-3 years ago. I was sick. I was really sick. Couldn't walk around the block without getting tired. But one night God gave me a dream, and I shared it with my church family. I shared it with my wife. God gave me a dream running long distance when I could hardly, at that time, walk a block. I'd run out of breath. But God gave me a dream jogging. I was running long distance, and I was so happy in that dream. Oh, I was so happy and joyful in that dream. You see, God came to give me a message saying, son, look, I'm going to heal you. You're going to be running long distance and be joyful and happy. And sure enough, it was a few years later because, you know, I was sick for a while, but it was a few years later. I was running, and I am running right now. I was playing basketball for about a little bit over two hours today. I'm running and exercising. You see, the dream came to pass. That was God showing me in the dream that I'd be running long distance. I even jog. I jog for miles. I work out. I'm running, playing ball. The vision, the dream, the chazon that God gave me, it came to pass. And I tell you, I did. I wrote it down in my journal, and I would go and look at it to encourage myself every now and then. I would go and read the dream that I had written down, the God-given dream that God had communicated to me in a dream, in a vision. And I wrote it down, and sure enough, it came to pass. You see, when God gives you a dream, when he gives you a vision, it will surely come to pass. Number one, write it down. Write it down so you can go back to your journal and read it and look at it and encourage yourself. Write it down, for it will surely come to pass. Chazon. That means vision. That means dream in Hebrew. Write it down. Write it down. Don't give up on what God has shown you. Don't give up. Stay motivated. Keep it before your eyes. Write the vision down. Write the dream down. I got a journal that I write my dreams down when I know they're God-given dreams. I write them down. You see, every one of us, we know when we're hearing from God. The scripture tells us that. In John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, Yeshua said, his sheep hear his voice, they know his voice, and they follow him. And a stranger, they will not follow. So we all know when we're having a dream from God. We all know when God is communicating to us. God says, we'll just know. He's placed something in us that we just know when he's the one talking to us. You write down those God-given dreams. You put them in a journal. Write them down when you know God is communicating to you. God says, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. We just know. I can't give you A, B, C, and 3 points on how to know the voice of God. All I know is I know when I hear from God. And you do too. Even the heathen know when they hear the voice of God. God has a very distinctive voice. Because he says in John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, he says, we know, his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. And a stranger, they will not follow. So you'll know when God has given you a dream. And when you know that it's God that's giving you this dream or this vision, you write it down so you can keep it before your eyes. I'm talking about what to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet. Number two, you got to stay firm in faith. You got to stay firm in faith. Joseph, he stayed firm in faith. Man, he was in prison, and the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. You know why the Lord was with Joseph? Because Joseph was with the Lord. He didn't give up. He didn't give up on God. He was with the Lord. He stayed firm in faith. And Habakkuk, look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. He stayed firm in faith. Look what Habakkuk the prophet said. God had given him a vision now, and look what's going on in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. He says, and although the fig tree shall not blossom, he didn't see any evidence of the vision coming to pass. Neither shall fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. He says, even though I don't see any meat right now, I don't see any evidence of what God has shown me in the vision, though the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He was saying, Habakkuk was saying, I don't see any evidence of the dream that God showed me. I don't see any evidence of it. He said, but even though I don't see it happening yet, yet I will rejoice in the Lord God of my salvation. Good God Almighty. That's faith. He stayed firm in faith. He didn't get all bent out of shape. He didn't give up on what God has showed him. You got to stay firm in faith. What to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet? Number one, you got to keep it before your eyes. Write the dream down. Write the dream down that God has given you. Number two, stay firm in faith. Though it seems like it's taking a while, that's all right. It will come to pass. You just continue to believe. Don't lose faith. Stay firm in faith, believing that God's going to do exactly what he said. And my third and final point, you got to wait for God's appointed time. Wait for God's appointed time, for it will surely come to pass. Look what he said in Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, though it seem like it's not going to happen, wait for it, for because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. You see, there's an appointed time that God's going to bring that thing to pass. He's going to cause that dream that he's given you to come to pass. It's at the appointed time. In the Hebrew, that word appointed time is moada. It's moada. Moada. That's the Hebrew word, moada. And it means the right time. It means the appointed time. It means the fixed time. It means the specific time. God, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says there's a time and a season for everything up under the sun. God has a set time to do everything. So just because what God showed you in the dream hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. It's just going to happen at God's time, at the appointed time, the set time. God works with seed times and seasons. So don't get discouraged if it's been 5 years, if it's been 10 years, if it's been 20 years. Don't be discouraged. God has a set time that he's going to bring that dream, that vision that he's given you to pass. So what to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet? Number one, write the vision down. Write the dream down so you can keep it before your eyes. You can go back to your journal and look at it from time to time until it comes to pass. Stay firm in faith. Don't give up on what God has shown you. And number three, wait for God's appointed time for the vision, for the dream to come to pass. For it will surely come to pass. Just wait for it. And that's what God wanted me to share with you tonight. I just know God's word blessed you. That's what to do when what God showed you hasn't happened yet. I tell you, hang in there. Don't give up. God has communicated to you a dream. It will surely come to pass. Dr. Unler?
reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hand down, and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then
Thank you. Thank you. I'll do some